Before you were ever born, God knew you. Let's talk about it on this edition of Healing.
That's the foghorn voice of Zebra. And this is Key Life, designed to get you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness. If that is your desire, stay tuned as Steve opens God's Word.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible open into the 11th chapter of Hosea, I guess this is one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible. I'm not going to take the time to read it. There's a magnificent poem that reflects the reality of the God that most people won't tell you about, or about whom most people won't tell you, for you English teachers. Eric was and I were talking just before we sat down and did this program, and Eric said, you know, I really like that chapter because it's really the way a parent, a good parent, treats children. You can see it in these areas of God's love. So we're going to look at the 11th chapter. I hope you were listening when I told you the story of Hosea, because it's a great story about how he married the prostitute Gomer and she left him. They had three children. Then God told him to go back and bring her home, and he did and restored her, and God said, that's me. That's the way I am. Some of you get really upset with me when I say, God's not angry at you. When I'm talking to believers, not unbelievers. If you're a pagan, you're in trouble. I mean, if you're a pagan, you're at enmity with God. That means he's ticked, and you're in serious trouble. But if you're a Christian, it's easy. I mean, if you don't want God to be angry at you, all you got to do is to come to Christ, to accept what he did for you on the cross, and to say, I want that. And you say, it can't be that simple. Yeah, well, it is. Recognize you can't do it yourself and just say, help, and go to him. Now, if you've done that, God's not angry at you. I was teaching at a church here in Orlando and had a question and answer time. I mean, if I told you this, I had a question and answer time, and I said, God's not angry at you. And a man raised his hand. He said, I hope he is. It's the only thing that keeps me going. And I said, sir, you're a nice person and all, but you're going to do some really bad stuff because you've got this authority problem, or you think God is angry at you. You may be doing it right now, but if I were you, I'd get out of the way because you're going to be in trouble. And then you will know that what I say is biblical. God is not angry, because if he is angry, you're going to be in serious trouble. The imputation of Christ's righteousness. God is not angry at those he loves. Now, let's look at some of the areas of God's love. First, and I'm just going to talk about this today, and we'll look at more tomorrow. First, I want you to see in chapter 11 of Hosea that love chooses. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. When Israel was a child, I loved him. Why was that? I don't know. Stiff-necked people. I mean, these were nobodies in the middle of nowhere. That's, some scholars say the word Hebrew comes from the word nomad or wanderer. If you've ever been to Israel and out in some of the wastelands out around Jerusalem, I mean, they're kind of barren as you move down to the Dead Sea. And sometimes if you look closely, you'll see people living in tents and people out in that's God's people. I mean, they're nobodies. I mean, these are not people that you would choose to be your people if you're the king, the God of the universe, and you rule everything. But that's exactly what God... I would have chosen the Egyptians. Well, maybe the Assyrians, or maybe the Babylonians. Man, they built skyscrapers and, you know, had cool religions with complicated liturgies. They had money, they had power, they had fame. I mean, if I was going to pick somebody, I would pick them. I wouldn't pick these tent dwellers out in the middle of the desert, but that's what God did. And one of the great miracles of old time is where these guys got their profound, monotheistic, sophisticated religion. I mean, these nobodies who should have been worshiping worms they said, there's one God, and he's called us, and we are his people. And it's amazing when you begin to look at how they got this. I'll tell you how they got it. Because God chose them. The old poem says, how odd for God to choose the Jews. Let me tell you something else. How odd for God to choose you. Now, I'm not talking about the issues of freedom. Yeah, we're free. Yeah, we're responsible. But I'll tell you, there's a flip side to that that is so wonderful and powerful to know that before you were ever born, before you had ever done anything good or bad, before you had gone to church or studied the Bible or listened to the gospel, God looked down. Before he hung the stars, before he hollowed out the valleys, before he set the worlds in motion, he knew your name and called you to himself. Is that astounding or what? You think about that. Amen. Well, we take some time at the end of Wednesday's broadcast to answer some questions. Then my pastor comes in on Friday, and we'll spend all of Friday answering questions. We get thousands of questions here, and we love your questions. We don't ever disvalue a saying, you dummy, how could you ask that kind of question? If you had any brains, you wouldn't ask that. We don't think that, because we ask similar questions. And we take you seriously and your questions seriously, but you got to write them down. Send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N385N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address if you want a response. And you always get a response from me or a staff member on the broadcaster in the magazine. And by the way, don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions. You can get the magazine. You can get the booklets we offer free. Key Life tapes free. You can make a contribution, but you gotta write down your question. Just a couple of things. Key Life is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That means we're honest. We have a website. You ought to check it out. It's keylife.org. And we also have a grand Bible study program. If you're listening from jail or prison, it's called the Crossroads Bible Institute. No. If you're not in jail, it's not for you. But if you'll give us a call or drop us a note, we'd be glad to get the material out to you. It's free and it's dynamite. And you'll be glad. All right, let's turn to some of these questions. This is from Ohio. Is it okay to read women's magazines? Not your guy. No. Is it okay to read women's magazines, to go to movies, and to listen to secular music? Are these things really wrong? I want to be an obedient Christian, but am I being too legalistic if I don't do those things? Let me tell you something. No, it's not okay to read bad women's magazines. It's not okay to go to bad movies. It's not okay to listen to bad secular music. But the truth is that when a women's magazine is a good one, and it reflects reality, when movies, which is an art form in our time, really speak to some of the deeper issues, are important, are entertaining in a reasonably Christian way. When secular music moves, that is worship. And yes, you've got to be discerning. You know what we told our kids when they were growing up? I got angry at Robin when she was a little girl. That's our older daughter, who now works for Key Life. She was reading a book that I didn't like. I was dating her. I took our daughters each out for a date once a month, and she was reading this book. I said, what are you reading that filth for? Don't say it that way to a teenager. The Bible says provoke not your teenager to anger. So she got sullen and withdrawn. You ever try to hug a angry teenager or a sullen one? It's like hugging a telephone pole. And I realized I shouldn't have said it that way. When we got to the restaurant, I said to her, honey, I've thought about what I said to you, and I'm sorry I said it that way. you can read anything you want to read as long as you discuss it with your mom or with me after you read it. You say, that's dumb, man. No, it wasn't. It was so good. Because our kids learned to read good stuff. I told them they could listen to any music they wanted to listen to. They could go to movies. But they had to discuss it with us. And we taught them to be discerning. They like good movies, and they like good music. And I suppose they like good women's magazines. So what I'm saying is, when people say there's an absolute rule, thou shalt not walk too fast, drink root beer, or go to a movie, they're not speaking from Sinai. So you got to be discerning. You got to be a balanced Christian. You got to think about these things. And I hope that's helpful to my friends in Ohio. This is from Illinois. What biblical and practical advice can you give for choosing a church home? You know, I've changed in my teaching about this. I used to say that you needed to look for a church where Christ is exalted and where the scriptures are taught. And once you find that, you ought to become a part of it and support it. But, you know, some of the meanest people in America are in churches where Christ is lifted up and where the scriptures are taught. And they know a lot of stuff. So I've added a third one, a church where people love each other. Now, if you can find those three things all together, you're going to find some things you're not going to like and some things you will like. But if those three are in order, then you ought to be a part of that church where love is clearly a part of the church, even if they don't live it all the time, where scripture is clearly taught and believed, where the pastor doesn't tell you about the birds and the bees and his political opinions, and then a church where Christ is lifted up as God incarnate. And when you get those things together, you found a really good church. Short question. Maybe I'll say more about it next week. This is from New Hampshire. Is a Muslim God Allah our God? Probably not. We'll talk about that next week. I gotta go, because if I don't, the guys at the radio station will just turn me off in about 20 seconds. But before I go, be sure and give us the call letters of this great station whenever you write or call Key Life, because we'd like to know who makes it possible. And one other thing, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.